Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I am your host, Jordan McNamara, diving into tight end action planned on some of my most owned tight ends here. Cole Kmet, 35%. Listen, the buzz and the uptake are already occurring out of the Chicago Bears camps. And that's the off-season, mini camps, all that stuff. Like, we're already getting some positive buzz. I like it. I like it in the sense of potential sell opportunity. If I can get a second, great. Especially non-premium leagues. I like that. I'll say about Kmet and some of the stuff, again, it's not a huge sample size, but I think some of these things are instructive trends, just cautionary, more so than being, hey, I'm going to mortgage the farm. I really like the trends and when you sort of look at these things is cautions, right? Like, hey, we can be smart, but let's sort of, maybe it's not the biggest sample size, but it's, there's some pretty instructive trends. Cole Kmet, when you sort of look at the guys that disappoint in yards per route run year one, not a huge ceiling. They tend to look a lot more like replacement level than they do look elite. Some of that, there's some injuries in there. Guys like Kelsey, for example, missed his first year and that stuff. But, that is something that, and there's some non-qualifiers too. I used a decent amount of routes and targets to sort of sort for that. But when you sort of look at that, it's bothersome in terms of from a ceiling perspective. I don't think Cole Kmet ever projected as a really high ceiling guy. But I sort of look at tight end position through the lens of that Hayden Hurst experience, which was had a bunch of them, sold a bunch of them, and basically made the analysis of, hey, what does he have to do to pay off his cost? What does he have to do to maintain this value? What does he have to do to not fall in value? And I think a lot of times you see tight ends, get into that 8 to 14 range. And if they sort of produce in that range, they fall in price. And so, that is something I think you need to sort of keep in mind. Just be careful on that. So Kmet, if he gets an uptick, if I'm holding him in tight end premium leagues, if I can get seconds for him in like safe leagues, it seems neutral-ish to me. I probably look to save him, probably hold on to him there. If I can get a little bit more back, it's fine because he presents a usable floor type projection. That's kind of what I look for. But he's a similar bet to a guy like Freiermuth this year. You get the tight end one in a class, you get him in the second, late second, third, even in the fourth round in some leagues that I got Kmet in last year. Yeah, that's just good process. And then it gives me an asset that, over the first year, those guys tend to be a little bit of potential building value, building narratives, building profile type guys. So definitely on the lookout for sell opportunities for him. Anthony Firkser, no surprise there, 31%. If I can get a second for him, I'm going to do it. I don't think the Julio Jones acquisition necessarily hurts him as much as some people might think. So, you get the Twitter mafia out there. I think, people tend to overdo it a little bit and don't really think before they talk. So there's a lot of reason to believe that Firkser could still be productive, very highly productive on a route run basis. And, you expand that, you tend to see those things be a little bit more sticky than we give them credit for. Eric Ebron, if I get a second in Superflex valuations, 23%, in safe leagues valuations, if I get a second, I think that's something that I would entertain doing, move to a different asset. Again, I like him as a player at this point in his career. He's probably falling in valuation. He's probably going to be on another team next year, all of those things. I do think when you sort of look at this, you're going to see some of these guys. There's a lot of guys that have free agency upcoming in 2022. So just keep some of that stuff in mind. Hockenson, 19% there. I want to add exposure. Jared Cook, 15%. Feel good about that. I could add him into some spots where I have a need. And at the tight end position, I like that situation quite a bit out with the Chargers. Noah Fant, same thing. He's at 15% along with Cook. Want to add exposure to him if I can, sort of move, pivot from wide receiver to him, something like that. Definitely looking to do that. Josiah DeGara, similar to some guys this year, it's just buy real low on a day two tight end, right? Like sometimes these things aren't that hard, and you just kind of do that over time, and that tends to be, you know, if you're spending a fourth round rookie pick on a second round day two tight end, second day tight end, that's usually a pretty positive EV scenario. And so, you know, is Drew Zeigler DeGuard the answer? No, but it's more the bet that I'm making, right? I'm just going to, that's kind of a rules based bet. Just take that shot and you see what happens, and it doesn't cost you much. And it's a potential Cole Kmet uptick year two type guy that you could pivot off of. So we'll sort of see what the offseason brings for him. Again, he could easily be a cut, but I didn't spend very much. Mark Andrews at 11.5, basically 12% there with David Njoku as well. I'd like to add exposure to both of those guys. Andrews, I really like the player. I just question the overall usage. But if he was in like a Kelsey scenario, like we would be talking about a big four at tight end. Like that's how good he is. So, yeah, we would be talking about him and Kittle and Waller and Kelsey. Like that's what we'd be talking about. So that's the level of what I think about Mark Andrews. Some guys in the 8% range. Again, we could take or leave some of these guys. Devin Asiasi, Dawson Knox, Drew Sample. You know, I think Dawson Knox is probably the guy in that range that could potentially see an uptick. Asiasi and Drew Sample, probably not as much. Although Sample, curious survivor of the offseason. No super added competition. So look to see there. Again, he sort of fits in that comment range of hasn't really shown anything elite yet. So you kind of know that's what's coming. O.J. Howard, Adam Trautman, both at 8% as well. So I think with both of those guys, you know, I think Trautman could be a potential pivot guy. He's getting the Cole Kmet treatment a little bit out of Saints camp, so we like to see that. O.J. Howard a bit free agent. You know, I think lesser of his talent than I think a lot of the Dynasty community does. So we'll see, you know, if there's a potential pivot opportunity. But he's buried, man. He's just coming off an injury. It's going to be a tough road for him. Colby Parkinson is a guy real deep in leagues. I got 8%. This is like the two tight end specials. So he's one that I can definitely see going after, you know, in just as a stash, super, super deep. Again, I think it's, I don't even think it really relevant 30 man, but like 40 man. That situation with Everett in front of him and Disley, and there's not a ton to block him there. I think there's another guy there that I'm blanking on at present who's up there with him. I think that there's opportunity as an early day three guy to potentially see some uptick valuation. Again, it's not like they signed Everett, and Everett's, you know, I like Everett, but I think potential full tight end one, something like that. I'm not sure we see that. So they have Luke Wilson as well. I think that was the other guy. So that I was thinking about. So we'll see there with him. You know, I do think that things could potentially break his way where you see him as like a, almost in a Dalton Schultz is an interesting comp there for him. Would sort of be the range at which I would look for him to potentially make an impact. But with some injuries, like I could absolutely see him being a riser in season. Let's see some of the vet guys that I have here. Gronkowski at 8%, Ertz at 8%, Graham at 8%. I think Gronkowski is a tight end one masquerading as a tight end three in dynasty valuation. So that's something that I would approach with, you know, in safe leagues and tight end premium stuff. If you sort of need a guy, I think he could be a starter. He offers enough to potentially be flex viable as well, at a pretty cheap cost. So I like that. Zach Ertz, you know, we'll see what happens in the market movement. I think he's a potential trade candidate. You know, I've added him. I add him basically as a throw-in in a deal, and I got him as a free agent off the wire last year. So that was pretty nice combination there. Jimmy Graham's one that could potentially be cut. But I will say with Jimmy Graham, I think he's a really savvy potential add. Now, it's going to sound ridiculous to say that, but for a lot of reasons, I think about this with when you sort of look at some of these, how these teams build for superstars in the NBA. And you see a lot of times, you know, guys, they're trying to clear cap. They're trying to clear, you know, space. You know, they're trying to basically open up cap space. Sort of how do you do that to potentially lure a star? A lot of the constructs of deals and stuff is centered around that. Well, I sort of think about how teams might implement that in the NFL. And one of the things that I could see is there's a potential uptick opportunity for some of these free agent tight ends. So this is a really potential to be a really good free agent tight end class. Well, if you're trying to add quality, you know, if you're the Bills, for example, and you're trying to add a tight end, what's a way to do that? Well, if Jimmy Graham gets cut, Jimmy Graham's like the ideal person. It's a 1-year deal. You don't commit anything to 2022 where you could potentially, you know, see an uptake. You sort of still have the ability to audition Dawson Knox, and you're basically taking a win now type approach to the asset while still leaving total flexibility to make a 2022 investment. Like I love that approach. And so that's something that I'm trying to think about and incorporate in some of the dynasty stuff, but I love that from an NFL point of view as well. So we'll see there with Jimmy Graham. I think he will have, he fits the, what's the rule at tight end? Elite producers, as they age, still have floor so long as they have a job, right? That's kind of the thing. Like they tend to outproduce what we think, you know, they tend to outproduce the market so long as they have a job, right? So that's sort of the anti Jason Witten, right? Jason Witten, when he had a job, very, you know, productive, right? I think he was a fringe tight end one that year. And then he goes to Vegas and doesn't have a job. And all of a sudden, like, he doesn't do anything, right? Because he doesn't have a job. But the savviness of the tight end position allows those guys to sort of keep going. So, and the tight end positions, it's not super deep with high end producers. So as they age, right, they tend to age from, you know, tight end 1, 2, 3, something like that, to tight end, you know, 8 to 12, and that's very much the position. There's not a ton of threats there to really, you know, mix it up there in that range. Some other guys. Oh, Jordan Akins is one I do want to note. 8%. You know, I think from a potential target scenario, he's one that, you know, entering a free agent season, he could be the second most valued pass catcher in that offense. Sounds outrageous to say, but they're a dumpster fire, and if they're going to need to throw a lot, like Jordan Akins routes in a Logan Thomas type role, fine, like let's cash that. So I do think there's some interesting opportunity there at the tight end position, you know, especially if you're getting, you know, 2 PPR and stuff like that. Like he's going to be much more in the flex conversation than you would even appreciate. 4% on Gesicki, 4% on Logan Thomas. I'm trying to get out of that. Kelsey only have 4%. I could see him adding that, you know, if there's a downtick in cost at some point. Goddard's at 4%. I could see that going up. Yeah, just looking down here at some of the other guys. Hunter Henry, I don't have any of. Gerald Everett, I need to probably add some of as well. So that's really the names. And then just to hit the tight end position or hit the rookies real quick, I'm going to do a rookie-centric one of these as well. Freiermuth up at 12%. Tommy Tremble, 12%. Noah Gray, 12%. So you sort of seeing, you know, that's – I think those numbers will go up too. My most owned rookie right now is up at 27% there with Kenny Ngonwu. I can see a tight end beating him, and when I sort of incorporate these later – you know, these later August drafts that I have going on with third and fourth round of rookie drafts, I could see those tight ends potentially upticking. So I'll be on the lookout for that. All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.